And John Campbell from covers.com joins us now to talk about that and more. John, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, John, you know, now here in Canada, you know, we have Sports Select. People can bet on sports events like this. Now, talk about how you think Christie's announcement could represent the beginning of a legitimization, I guess, of sports betting.
Yeah, well, if New Jersey is successful here, I think other states are really going to start lining up to offer sports betting as well, just because there's so much money to be made and so much taxable revenue to be made there if they can legalize it and legitimize it. And, you know, same within Canada. Canada has legislation right now waiting in Bill C-290 to hopefully offer single-game wagering the same way. So New Jersey's running into some snags. The leagues are fighting tooth and nail to try to stop them from doing this. And so far have been successful, and the next hearing is on November 20th.
Now, what do you expect to happen in this hearing?
Well, right now it's not looking very good for New Jersey. I think the leagues and most of the legal experts are saying that the leagues will be successful here in getting a preliminary injunction. So it's not the end of the road for New Jersey there. They say they will appeal, and they will. And then their appeal will probably be heard sometime next spring. So it'll be next spring, early summer, before New Jersey may have a chance to offer sports betting.
Yeah, John, that's the thing about any part of the legal system. The wheels turn slowly. If you're talking about that kind of timeline for this, how long a timeline is it, should they be New Jersey be successful, till the dominoes start to fall in other states? Because clearly there's an appetite for sports betting.
Yeah, well, Minnesota was the first to line up and say they'll offer it. And if New Jersey was successful this fall, Minnesota was going to offer it as offer legislation in January and put that forth. So there were a number of other states that had written what's called, they'd written legal briefs to support New Jersey. And I think several of them would have followed suit really quickly, you know. And we've seen states like California offer sports betting legislation in the past. So I think it would have happened really quickly, and if New Jersey is successful next spring, summer, I think we'll see a lot of states follow suit by the end of next year.
When you look at this, you know, professional sports in the NCAA maintain that legalizing sports betting on a national basis would erode the integrity of professional sports, and they filed a lawsuit to stop it. I don't know how true that is or not, but their reaction that, you know, I didn't read a lot of this on that. So the league's reaction to Governor Christie's announcement, what do you make of that, the fact that they didn't really address it?
That Christie didn't address it?
Or? No, the leagues didn't.
Well, they didn't have to with the last one because the judge made their argument for them and kind of showed his bias in all of this. And I think that's part of New Jersey's problem is they got a biased judge in this, and he doesn't want sports betting because the leagues were supposed to show irreparable harm, and which is almost an impossible argument for them because legalized sports betting is already offered in Nevada. I made bets there a few weeks ago, and the leagues didn't come crumbling to the ground. The NFL plays games in London in a legalized sports betting environment. You can make bets across the street. In the NBA and MLB in Canada, you can make parlay bets. So they would have had, you know, not much luck in showing irreparable harm. And the judge's lame reasoning for that was that legalizing betting will lead to more betting, which will therefore lead to more fixing. So people who aren't currently betting on sports, if you legalize it, they're going to start running around and magically fixing games. So it's this bull argument that the leagues put out there, really to fearmonger people who don't understand sports betting. Because legalizing sports betting, yes, it's about getting taxable revenue from it, but it's about legitimizing it. Because when you regulate it and monitor it, that's when you stop match fixing. If somebody's going to fix a game, they're going to do it in an illegal environment.
Yeah, absolutely, John. You know, the way I see it, when the government is involved, much as we say we don't want them having their fingers in everything, they do. But you have to have certain standards. And I don't think it runs rampant and gambling gets more crooked. I think they clean it up. What is your position on that? Like, I don't see a downside. Do you?
No, I don't. I've been asked that question a lot in over the past 2 months almost, and I'm still struggling with the answer to what is the downside to this. I mean, when you legalize it, you're right. You clean it up. You make it, you bring it above board. We can see who's making the bets. The leagues work very closely with Nevada and Las Vegas to monitor any unusual betting patterns. And they let the leagues know right away because they want a clean game too. I mean, sports betting doesn't work without that. So you legalize it, you monitor it. It is so much tougher. You know, and Declan Hill, who's kind of the world's leading match-fixing expert, on this subject, he said very recently, you're a moron if you try to fix a game in a legalized environment. It just doesn't happen because they're going to get caught.
John Campbell, managing editor of Covers.com, joins us. Now, John, it's funny how the leagues say, well, geez, if you allow it to be legal, there's going to be more chance of it getting fixed. Well, these are the same leagues, though, that have teamed up, especially football, with fantasy football. Hockey does it in baseball, but football is the biggest one now. FanDuel is huge. You know, the leagues are definitely a part of it with CBS and such. You know, how is that any different? Because if you're teaming up and betting all this money on fantasy, are you telling me that you couldn't bribe one player suddenly in fantasy football either? What's the difference?
Yeah, I mean, how crazy is that? The leagues endorse betting on player outcomes, but when it comes to betting on teams, they say it's some kind of satanic ritual or something. I mean, the NBA signed a deal, an exclusive deal with FanDuel today. The NHL signed an exclusive deal with DraftKings yesterday. This is bettors risking cash to win cash on daily player outcomes. And if I were fixing an event, you know, I would just want to take care of one player. Mm-hmm. And if I could take care of one player in fantasy sports, I'm probably going to win my fantasy sports bet. But if you take care of one player, if you have one player on the take in a football game or, you know, any other team sport, you're not guaranteed to win. I mean, and this has happened before where somebody's bought and the game doesn't go their way. But it's just so ridiculous that they endorse fantasy when single players are much more vulnerable than and you know, don't accept sports betting.
John, one thing I'd like to ask you about is jurisdiction. Whether we're talking NBA or NFL strictly in the States, obviously, how does the federal overlap the state? And in the case of certain leagues like the NHL, where there's Canadian and American teams, is that a tricky gray area at all, or is it cut and dried?
No, I think it's pretty cut and dried. I think you allow the states in the U.S. to monitor each market, and you allow the provinces in Canada, and that's the way both pieces of legislation are kind of set up. C-290 in Canada, it doesn't say you have to legalize sports betting. It leaves it up to the province to legalize it if they want to and monitor it from there. And the great thing about it is we already have a great model in Nevada. It works very well. It's highly regulated. It's highly monitored, and it works very well. The Nevada Gaming Control Board, controls everything there. And I think it would work pretty simply state by state, and that's how you tax it as well. It wouldn't be all that hard in the end.
You look at it right now, and obviously the NHL today, there is a story coming out that they might be expanding to Las Vegas, where it is legal, right? Mm-hmm. How is that the first step, and can the NHL then stand their ground on November 20th and have this ruling, the rules against legalized betting, when suddenly they're going to move a team into the state of Nevada?
Well, this is where the judge's bias really comes in, and he's chosen to ignore these facts because it's now fact. Started as rumor that the NHL was exploring, looking at expanding to Las Vegas, and it's now fact that they're in talks with MGM Resorts and looking at expanding there. The judge has chosen to ignore this fact. Same thing with NBA commissioner Adam Silver has recently done interviews. He did one with Bleacher Report not too long ago where he was talking completely supportively about sports betting, about the transparency of it, and how they realize that this is something people are doing and it's a much safer environment if they're monitoring it and regulating it.
John, what do you think, the leagues, wouldn't this create more interest? Like, people always talk, the reason the NFL is so dominant for people, A, is the gambling factor, and B, it used to be a one-day thing. Now, of course, it's Thursday nights and Monday's always being around. But, for the leagues to, we talked earlier about the hypocrisy. Do they not think that this would actually gain more interest in their game, or would it not?
Oh, it does. I mean, this is the big hypocrisy. Nobody is a bigger fan of sports betting than the leagues, because they're making the most money off of it from the TV deals and everything else. I mean, the reason people are so interested in other markets, if you live in, if you have teams in your city, is because they're betting on them. I mean, and the NCAA is part of this too. I mean, March Madness is popular because of betting, purely and simply. People love going in their office pools and risking their money with a chance to win. I mean, they couldn't demand the kind of dollars they do. They wouldn't get the fan interest they do without sports betting. So the leagues are huge fans of sports betting. It's just so hypocritical how they're arguing differently in court. You know, and one of my big questions is, why are they protecting the mob so badly, ferociously? They're the ones who benefit the most. I mean, if sports betting becomes legal tomorrow, you put all of these illegal books out of business. I mean, they're the ones who benefit most. So why are the leagues fighting to protect them so much? So, that's another question I have. I don't have the answer for you, but it's one I ask all the time.
John, I read a figure. It says here the FBI estimates that up to $500 billion is already being illegally wagered in the U.S. Now, are we talking annually for that amount? And if that's annual, how many industries in the world are bigger than that?
Oh, I know. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about $500 trillion a year illegally wagered in the U.S., according to FBI estimates, as you said. I don't know how many other industries are that rich and generate that much revenue, but I mean you can't even fathom it. And I mean, you can walk into any sports bar and hear people talking about spreads and who they have this weekend and all that sort of thing. This is already going on. And with the state of the economy and states needing money, I mean, they're saying, this is an easy one that we can check off the list, that we can start generating some taxable revenue from here, because it's already happening. So it's huge, huge business. It's time to legitimize it.
John, we really appreciate it. So you don't think anything will change on November 20th, but I'm guessing if the NHL goes into to Las Vegas and Nevada, that is really going to open Pandora's box even more for other states and maybe Chris Christie and other governors who are saying, hey, wait a second. If you guys say it's good for you in that state, then we want it in ours.
Yeah, there is hope on appeal here. A lot of things are happening quickly, and that definitely could be a factor too. So I am optimistic about where it goes from here.
Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.